Thank you, Jesus. Just do me a favor, stretch your hands towards me as I decrease. Pray that the Lord will increase through me. In the name of Jesus, I want you to pray that prayer. Stretch your hands towards me. Begin to pray. Ask the Spirit of the Lord to increase. May you not see me, may you hear the Lord speak to your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak through me. May I not speak my mind. Take control, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Take control, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to appreciate my Father in the Lord, Bishop Scott, for giving me this opportunity. 2005, I actually came to the U.S. and my cousin happened to got married that year, and he invited me to Texas. So when I arrived in Chicago, it was actually a point of my decision of going back. This is not really what I thought. I gave my life 2001, sold out, just fired up in the Lord, and I just want to serve God and serve Him alone. So my green card came out 2005. My brother had filed for me, and I arrived, and it's like the fire was no longer there. Everything about my spiritual life was actually going down. The weather was very cold. Everything was totally different. And I was at that point of, I need to go back. I kept, talking with my wife. I'm beginning to doubt if this is actually the will of God. So my cousin invited me, and I came to Texas. And I met Bishop. Met the church, met Brother Ramon, everybody filled in the Holy Ghost. I'm like, this is the place. This is the place. I knew it everywhere. The weather itself, just like an African weather. I said, this is the place. This is where God have brought me. I felt so relaxed. And something happened. After the wedding, I have been praying, Lord, touch the heart of who will ask me to stay back in Austin. And Bishop called me, and I felt this is actually the answer I'm looking for. And he looked at me, he said something that I will never forget. He said, left for me, I would love to keep you back in Austin. I can talk to different people to get you something or to hook you up somewhere. But I feel that God has something for you in Chicago. Get back to Chicago and let's see what the Lord has for you. That wasn't what I was expecting to hear. That wasn't my prayer. But for some reason, I had peace in my heart. And I agreed with Him. And I went back to Chicago. Brethren, the rest is a history right now. Today, I can gladly tell you that God actually brought me to Chicago for a purpose. And that purpose is part of what I'm doing today. Speaking to men. When I gave my life to Christ, there is one thing that I noticed. Every time I come to the church, I'll be looking around. Where are the men? Where are the men? Where are the men? Something is wrong. Where are the men? Where are the men? And I remember how we all grew up. I don't know about you, but my mom is the one taking us to church. And, we grew up and it's like a default that it's the women leading when it comes to church. But when I gave my life to Christ, I realized that the men are the priest. And yet in the church, I'm not seeing men. What is going on? And that was how the Lord started putting it in my heart. And today, by the grace of God, I'm going to share with us a few things that I grabbed from this book. Again, Bishop recommended this book. I didn't write this book, but this is a book I will encourage every one of us to buy. You know, one of the greatest, and I keep saying it, one of the greatest challenge in our life today is to have time to read. But that's the greatest wisdom. That's the greatest opportunity for every one of us to excel. There is so much in this book. So much in this book. I will encourage us to buy this book, download it. Some of them are free. Download it and see what the Lord has placed in this young man to put in this book. So while I was reading this book, I came to this chapter. It said, walking worthy of our calling. It said, a respectable man is a man who lives in such a way so that his total life adorns the teaching of the Bible. Whether it's his dress, his speech, the appearance of his home, his office, or the way he does business, all are to be in harmony with biblical principles and doctrines. Because God is a God of order, a man of God should always be orderly and proper. He should be a Christian, gentleman in every area of his life. When I think of being a man who lives a respectable life, I think of what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Christians, about our Christian walk. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So today we are dealing with walking worthy of our calling. And the Spirit of the Lord dropped it down there for me to understand that manhood is a calling. I don't care the ministry, the leadership, or whatever we are aspiring or we are, but manhood is a calling. It's very unfortunate that many have lost that prestigious calling. But God has brought us here today to restore back that calling. Manhood is a calling. And the way the Lord is leading me, we're going to deal straight down to our family. Our family is the priority. Nobody else knows me here but my wife. Even my kids knows me apart. But my wife is the one that knows me, the intimacy, the real me. You might know about me. Bishop have said so much. But the only one who knows me, who knows really me, is my wife. And that is where we are dealing right now. If we can get this calling worthy in our family, we can get it everywhere else. Many a times you see men walking worthy, even in the church, in the business areas. I've seen successful businessmen, but they lost the calling of the family. I've seen respectable men of God, very anointed, but they've lost the calling in their home. And it's not surprising that the devil is really attacking families more often. In 1 week in a row, that was why I felt that This is just a confirmation that the Lord is telling me to speak on family. It is an institution that you cannot graduate. It's a learning process for every one of us. And the calling is we have to be worthy of that calling, manhood. This pastor came. We are sharing as we are about to pray. And it's all about the misunderstanding between him and the wife. Why is this happening, Fred? I said, well, there is one thing that I know. And it's for us to play our part and allow the rest for the Holy Ghost. And how do we play our part? There are some internal forces. And of course, the external force is there. And we're going to end with the external force, which we all know that the devil is out to destroy our homes. So we're going to handle that in prayers. I believe in prayers, and I believe that I will challenge the men here to pray. But there are internal forces. I might not be able to speak on everything, but I just choose to talk on one. The man's ego. I mean, it's a natural default for every man. Maybe because we're number one. God created us first. He said he made us in the spirit, we're male and female. But we came out first. So there is this ego on every man. And it's normal. And that is why men naturally are born leaders. There is this leadership unction in us. But there is something that Paul actually says in verse 2 of that Ephesians chapter 4. If you can open your Bible with me, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 2. After he had mentioned about the worthy of calling, and in verse 2, he now said, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. With all humility and gentleness. For every man to succeed in life, you must walk in humility. Humility subsides the ego. The ego is the flesh. But the humility is the spirit that the Lord has impacted on us. Because of ego, many have lost it. But today, God is restoring back our manhood by applying humility in all that we do. Ego will affect few things in our life when we're talking about home. I have 5 points. Again, like I said, I'm just bringing it down to home. Ego will affect our loving unconditionally. In Ephesians 5:25 down to 33, Paul was saying that we should love our wives. And the love right here is an unconditional love. Now you now find out that ego will always checkmate you to always see that your wife either is not respectable to you or that your wife is not submissive. Now ego shows you your right. But humility shows you the responsibility. The responsibility right here is love your wife. That's the command. That's the command. Love your wife. Now, regardless of whether she's submissive, it's love your wife. Just as Jesus loves the church. Now, who can tell me the perfect church today on earth? Who can tell me the perfect person on earth? For Jesus loves us, even with our flawness, even with our weaknesses. Jesus loves us. And Jesus actually directed this to men. Now, love your wife. And again, I keep saying this. Our homes are the greatest place to test our faith. I can walk humble in front of you guys. I can behave myself. I just have today and tomorrow in Texas. I can play gentle. I can be meek. I can be no. I can love everybody regardless. But what happens when I get back home? It's very possible to walk worry out there and not walk worry at home. But it's not possible to walk worry at home and not walk worry out there. Focus at home. And that's why we have to take this very serious. Because we are trying to restore back what the devil has stolen. The impartation we're having here today is for us to get back out and restore back the same message to every man. We must get this. We must get this calling. Walking worthy in our home. Love unconditionally. That is what humility will do. Number two, ego will affect our submission. Ego will affect. Ephesians 5:21, Paul started by saying submitting to one another. But I've seen so much time when we argue, you know, you are not submissive to me. You are not submissive. You know, Paul started with submitting to one another. Now, when a man begins to say you are not submissive, you are not respectful, that man have lost it. You have totally lost it. Because he started with submissive to one another. So in other words, it's very easy for men not to listen. Because we get it all. We get the right answer. And all that I'm saying today is exactly the things that the Lord have dealt with me, because I almost lost my home. Even my cousin never knew. But thank God for Benny Hinn. I wrote that in my book. Thank God. I gave my life to Christ and I am so fanatical. In fact, I don't care for anything else but to serve the Lord. But I keep missing it at home. I kept missing it. But I heard the testimony of Benny Hinn. I shed tears. And right there, I talked to myself, if I don't learn the way I'm going, I might experience the same thing. And the Holy Spirit right there told me that if you miss the calling at home, forget it. You're not with me. Home is the first ministry. If you miss it, you're not working with me. You might think that you are working for me, but you are not working for me. And God is very good in doing that. Saul, in the Old Testament, with the calculation, I might be wrong, walked for 38 years without God being with him. He was just being there as a king. But God is the only person who can hire you, fire you, and still leave you. You are doing your own thing. But he's no longer with you. Yeah, that's God for you. So right there, I picked much that I can. And I started putting that submission into practice. I've missed so many things. Even in decision making. That was a time I felt like I really have to start doing something for myself apart from doing the 8-hour job. There are so many businesses out there. I have friends in Africa, you know, ship cars for us, you know, we send the money back to you. And I said, okay, we're going to do this. And my wife was right here, said, where are you going to get the money from? I'm like, we get this credit card, you know, just buy it. Can't you understand? Buy this car, we send, they send the money. Said, don't touch the credit card. No, you don't know what you're talking about. We have a serious argument. I mean, this is so clear. I mean, you buy this car, you send it, they sell the car, they send the money back to you, you pay off the credit card, you say, got some change? What are you talking about? And I did that hard withdrawal. Bought that car, sent that car, and never got a dime from that car. And ended up owing credit card hard money that brought pain to my family. Why? I didn't listen. How dare you talk to a man of God? I pray every day. I hear from the Lord. Yeah. I mean, this is so clear. And these are little things that can happen to any man. Maybe I'm alone, but I've several times I felt I heard from the Lord. I heard from the Lord. I heard from the Lord. And I'll step out, and she will keep telling me, I don't feel comfortable. Stop praying, woman. Stop praying. And I step out and I still missed it. And that was when I knew. And for any woman in your life, is actually a plan of God for you. That's for a purpose. If we get these things that I'm sharing, definitely we will not miss it. We have to be submissive. Ego. Number 3. Ego will affect our service at home. 1 Timothy 3:4-5. Can we read it? 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3. Pride. On definition that I'm speaking right here is all about pride. That's why I read Ephesians 4:2. Humility. Walking in the Spirit. For every man walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5. The evidence of walking in the Spirit are listed. So basically, humility is not really what your flesh wants. But the worthy of our calling, it's no longer what I want, but what my Father wants. That is why Jesus prayed that prayer as well. Let not my will, but may your will be done. Humility can only take a man in the Spirit to walk in humility. And humility is very easy to say. Any man can say, I walk in humility. But the test of the faith is at home. And that's why I'm narrowing down our discussion at home. That is where the test of the humility comes. 1 Timothy. Chapter 3. Is anybody here? Can you read if you find it? 1 Timothy 3:4-5. Thank you. We rule by influence and not by force. Serving is the magnet of fellowship. We rule by influence. When you see a man serving, naturally, your family will follow you. Our service in our home defines our leadership. Dealing with leaders and having been in the position of calling leaders, I mean, every month we gather together just to pray, hear the word, challenge ourselves. It takes a lot to call leaders. Because every month you have to be calling them. And sometimes I feel like giving up. And I remember staying in my living room praying very early in the morning. I said, Lord, give me a large heart. Give me a large heart, Lord. I want to serve the leaders. I want to serve the leaders. Whatever it will take me to serve them, I will serve them. Wherever I will go, whatever I will do, give me a large heart. Give me a large heart. I want to serve. I want to serve. And right here, finished praying that prayer. Usually, our kitchen is actually my study room where I study. And time without number, I have, you know, had some few discussions with my wife about the kitchen. If not for anything, respect the table, this side. Just this side. And after finish praying, get to the kitchen, put on the light on. Lo and behold, I'm not talking about the general kitchen. Even that area, full of mess. It was like a deliberate action. And I was like, what is this? What is this? And self-pity came in. Lord, what have I done? Why will I carry this cross? What is this? And right there, I was on that self-pity. The same prayer that I prayed, Lord, give me a large heart that I may serve. And the Holy Spirit said, if you want to serve, this is the service. Start right here at home. Begin to clean up. And I raise up my hands. I gave myself away. With all joy, I began to clean the kitchen. And that was actually the miracle that was actually done for me. Complaining about serving, complaining about how the kitchen is, how the home is, ceased. And I had a new spirit. And naturally, that developed. Not because I learned it. Actually, I was last at my home. Not just the last. The only boy, because two of my brothers were here in the U.S. I'm only with the ladies back home in Africa. And in Africa, there's a way they respected males. You know, no matter how age, they will protect you. So I never did anything at home. Everything that I'm doing today is all that the Holy Spirit have taught me. That service is actually what we need for people to follow us. Not the title, not the command. You might be in the title and people you are leading are far away from you. But service is actually what will make people follow you. And that was exactly what I discovered on David. David, while he was still running away from Saul, I think 1 Samuel 22. The Bible said that this man was in a cave. But people that were depressed, perplexed, in debt, I mean, they were like 400 in numbers following David, including his parents. David be a captain over us. That's a man of influence. That's a man whose heart is ready to serve others. It wasn't because of title. Saul was a king. He wasn't a king. He's actually running for his life, but you have people following him. And this is exactly what the Lord is bringing to us today. When we walk to serve, naturally, people will follow you. When you serve at home, naturally, the family will follow you. So ego will affect our service. And that is why we can sit down to keep pointing things that are not yet done. But today, if only you agree, those things that are not yet to be done, it is our calling to do that regardless. Remember, the flesh will not allow you, but the spirit will allow you. Number four, our emotions. Argumentative anger. Every man desires to be respected. And when this is not happening, definitely it triggers bitterness. But humility will drive self-control. The greatest that can happen to any man is to have self-control. This particular area have kept many people where they are not supposed to be. Because their emotion were really affected. Men killing their wives. Emotions, the anger. It can be very dangerous. Men even destroying themselves. I mean, you keep thinking about it. Why is this? Why is this? And the way it happens is that you keep focusing on yourself. Why? Before you know it, it builds so much bitterness that you will not be able to handle anymore. And the next thing is destruction. But self-control. And what drives the self-control? Humility. And that's still the Spirit of God working in us. Humility. Every man needs self-control. That will be sometimes when you will not be able to handle it, just walk out. Have a fresh air. And the Lord gave me an example when this was actually happening to me. So in my workplace, I have people naturally that I'm older than. And they are all ladies. They are all my boss. They trigger my emotions. They talk to me anyhow. I have self-control. Why? Because I'm being paid. If I lose my emotion at my place of work, I'll lose the job. But if I come back at home, I lose the same emotion. Why? And the Spirit of the Lord puts that in me. If you can respect your job because you are scared to lose your job and you have self-control at your workplace, how much more at your home? Who gives you life? Who sustains you? Who preserves you? Who have called you? Imply that same self-control at home. I am the Lord that provides. You can naturally lose your job, even in your self-control. But you can't lose me in your self-control at home. And that changed me. Self-control. Finally, our transparency. Emotion affects our transparency. We are intimated to become one. Hide nothing from your wife. We are one. I saw that in Genesis. The Bible says that a man will leave the father and the mother and will cleave to his wife, and both of them will be one, and they will not be ashamed. That word, not be ashamed, the Holy Spirit triggered me. Transparency. Never you hide anything away from your wife. Ego will affect us. Ego will definitely make you to keep some things away. But humility will have you open. And that's the greatest accountability for any man. The greatest accountability for you to be open with your wife. I remember when I think that was the initial stage of my marriage, and my sister called me, and he was trying to say a few things to me, and said, please, make sure your wife doesn't know. I said, no, you've missed it. You totally missed it. So whatever you tell me and you don't want her to know, don't tell me. Don't tell me. That have really checkmated my own life in terms of accountability. Many men have fallen. Adultery issues that we are having, part of it is not because we planned, but because we have chose to hide some certain things away. And that have led us to many errors we have made in life. But when we are open, remember, even when they are not open, our calling is to focus on our responsibility, not on our right. Humility makes us to walk worthy of our calling. Everything I just mentioned right now, it might be challenging to some. Some might not agree with me. But I want to tell you that these five steps, just these few five steps, can save many homes. It can even restore men who have lost it. It can change life. And again, the flesh will struggle with it. But humility will make you reason with it. And that is why today God brought us to hear his word. The external areas are there. That's why I said that the external areas which I'm going into right now, we have to pray about it. I mean, are there difficult wives? Definitely, sure. And who have caused that? The devil himself. I'm reading Job. You that is reading the Bible actually realize that there was a communication between devil and God. How will affect his family, affect his health, affect his finance, and you see what he will do. And definitely, the devil is out there attacking our homes. Wives are opposite direction. Our health, take off money from a man. You finished him. Take off the mindset of the wife. You finished him. And this is what the devil is doing. The wife, the health, the finance, the man is gone. Job's wife actually told Job, are you still holding your integrity? Cause God and die. So many men have found themselves in such a situation. They felt unworthy. But there is one answer that I know. That with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. In Genesis chapter 25 and 21, that scripture changed my life, and that is the scripture that we're going to use to pray. That was Isaac. The Bible said that he entreated of the Lord. I mean, the wife was barren. Yours might not be barren. Yours might be a different issue. But we have to cry. When men cry out to the Lord, God changes situation. I don't know where or what we are going to believe God for our lives to be worthy of our calling. This morning, we have to cry out. Entreat of the Lord. Jacob prayed. He said, I will not let you go except you change me. If there is anything the devil can do, is to hold a man bound not to pray. If there is anything the devil can do, it will affect the mindset. Because men are factual, women are emotional. That is why you see women, they follow God a lot. But men reason. I am telling you, even with the experience, I myself, because men are very factual. Before you see a man follow God, the mindset has been renewed. Because the foolishness in the eyes of men is wisdom in the eyes of God. And that is why you call for prayers today. Few men come out to pray. I mean, I'm talking about getting a contract to save my life and my family. I'm talking about prayers. I mean, our minds have to be renewed. Shall we rise to pray, if you don't mind? Men, we have to worship God. We have to praise Him. We have to pray. Whatever the situation is for you, whatever that you want to entreat the Lord, that is, you want to cry out, we have gathered together as men. I want us to worship Him. Open your mouth and begin to worship Him. If you can speak in other tongues, spirit-filled, pray in tongues. If you don't know how to pray in tongues, just worship Him. We want to make the atmosphere conducive right now.